Welcome to Ask the Ascot. My name is Michael Beck. This is episode 31, Crushing Obligation. Send me your questions. I'm on Facebook and Twitter at Ask the Ascot. You can also email me, asktheascot@gmail.com. Miles, age 8, asks, why was religion created? Well, Miles, age 8, as always, thank you for making Ask the Ascot your first choice authority on the nature and origins of existence. Our English word religion comes from the Latin word religio. Religio was a fairly complex ancient Roman concept that referred to the obligations that human beings owed to the gods. Basically, Roman gods were real jerkfaces, and they were sticklers for 1,000 weird, arbitrary rules. The gods wanted people to say their prayers exactly the correct way and perform rituals exactly the correct way. An old Roman prayer might have words or even entire sections that the people saying the prayer literally didn't know what they meant. But understanding the words wasn't important. What was important was that they pronounced the words correctly, in the correct order. That was religio for the Romans. If you properly fulfilled your obligations to the gods, then the universe would behave properly for you. The harvest would be bountiful, the dumb bully would stop pushing you around, you'd get that big promotion at work, and you'd slaughter all of the Germanic tribesmen in glorious battle tomorrow morning. But you had to say exactly the right prayer, at exactly the right time of day, in exactly the right location, while you made exactly the right offering. It did no good to face north instead of southwest. If you were supposed to sacrifice a pink male pig, then it would ruin the whole thing to instead sacrifice a white female dove, or, gods forbid, burn a saucer of milk and honey. Incidentally, the Romans thought that extra good luck would come to whoever got the most blood on their toga during an animal sacrifice. In Roman religion, it did not matter what you felt or believed in your heart, as long as you fulfilled your formal obligations to the gods with precision. This is really different from a lot of contemporary religious practice, which tends to emphasize a personal connection to or relationship with the supernatural. But something that has not changed since Roman times, Miles, age 8, is whether you believe in no god, one god, or many gods, we all still have obligations. Not so many of us are worried about saying exactly the right mid-month prayer to Jupiter or lopping off the right parts of our body to honor Cybele anymore. But we all have responsibilities and things that we owe to each other, to the past, to the future, and to the planet that we share. Figuring out what those responsibilities are, and how we fulfill them without being utterly crushed by them, is one of the most important parts of life. As you get older, you realize that a fair chunk of life is about failing to meet those obligations. And that's when your crops are put to the torch and you're slain by Germanic tribesmen. But, Miles, age 8, that usually doesn't happen until you're in middle school. Good luck. Brandon asks, what's the best winter bird, and what's the appropriate way to observe it? Brandon, the best winter bird is the duck, and the best way to observe it is under an apricot glaze next to some blanched green beans. Turkey is too bland, goose is too greasy. Cornish game hens are hardly worth the effort at all, although, served with new potatoes, baby carrots, and Brussels sprouts, they make a meal that let you imagine that you yourself are a giant, and there's some real value in that. Some guy named Jake asks, "What's the most hopeless New Year's resolution?" Some guy named Jake, "The most hopeless resolutions are the most hopeful ones, because positive change is hard. Becoming physically healthier, becoming kinder, becoming a better steward of wealth, these things tax the faculties of even the best people. In the misty far-off past of 2005, I made a resolution to see a new movie in a movie theater once a week. This is about the lowest stakes resolution one can possibly make. I don't remember a single title I saw during this resolution, but I do remember that I kept at it until late April. There are a lot of bad movies that come out in theaters in March, gentle listener. But frankly, I thought that sticking with it until April was a great accomplishment at the time. I love making resolutions, and I usually make a slew of them. Some guy named Jake, I encourage you to gaze upon the hopelessness of your resolutions and to lean into them with gusto. For quite a while now, I've made about the same batch of resolutions each year, few of which will surprise anyone. I endeavor to eat healthier, to exercise more, to make more money, to spend less time online, and to spend more time reading books. Some of them, especially making more money, are traditionally jettisoned at lunchtime on January 1st. One of the things I really love about working in education is that there are so many built-in, fresh starts in the academic calendar. There are so many times for new resolutions throughout the school year. At the start of every single semester, we are all perfect teachers, we are all perfect students, we are all perfect mid-level bureaucrats. Every project will be completed ahead of schedule and win us a Nobel Prize. All of my obligations and all of my responsibilities will be fulfilled this semester. I love that hopefulness, even though every single past semester of my experience teaches me that that hopefulness is doomed. Fortunately, winter and summer breaks are the times during which I am definitely going to catch up on all of the work I've been putting off. Then I'll start eating healthier, then I'll start reading more, and then you'll get the idea. All of this is to say, some guy named Jake, that once my New Year's resolutions begin to fail almost immediately, the start of the new semester is going to be right there the week of January 17th, reminding me that this is definitely the year I'm reading Middlemarch and avoiding prosciutto. This year, why not resolve to send a bunch of thoughtful questions to Slovakia's 206th most beloved podcast, Ask the Ascot? I'm on Facebook and Twitter at AskTheAscot, and you can email me, asktheascot@gmail.com. Thanks to everyone who submitted questions this week. I had a lot of great ones, and I wish I had time for them all. I especially want to thank Zach, Holly, and Justin McElroy for sharing the show on social media. And, gentle listener, as you struggle mightily to keep your resolutions to spend less time online this year, remember that you receive a special dispensation from me to spend as much time as you want online, listening to, subscribing to, rating, and sharing Ask the Ascot. My theme music is composed and recorded by my brother David. He's on Instagram at DavidBeckNYC. Thanks for asking. Farewell.